And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It is always a good day when we can be talking with the folks at CAFASI, the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, one of the most important agencies in Kenosha County, for sure. And the difference that they make in the lives of senior citizens in particular is dramatic and far-reaching. And in particular, it is an array of services which in many cases allow seniors to age in place, age at home, versus having to move to other facilities. And of course, for some, that is an inevitability that simply must happen. But in other cases, if certain services can be put in place, people can remain in their homes longer than they otherwise would be able. And we're going to be talking about that, and in particular about the important service known affectionately as Meals on Wheels, which brings food into the homes of seniors, including in some cases otherwise isolated seniors. And it provides not only food, but really vitally important human connection and in a sense, a sense of community. We have with us today on the morning show in our studios, first of all, Ronald Tatum, who is the executive director of CAFASI. And also we have with us Rebecca Stevens, who is the AmeriCorps Senior Project Director. And it is through AmeriCorps Senior that a lot of the volunteers are derived and really make something like Meals on Wheels possible. And there is about to be undertaken a special concerted effort to raise awareness about this program and its importance, and an opportunity for people to see for themselves how this works and what a difference people can make in the lives of others. That's a project or an event that's going to be kicking off two weeks from today on Tuesday, the 19th of March. So we have a lot to talk about, and Ronald Tatum and Rebecca Stevens, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'm so glad that we can have this conversation. I neglected in that introduction to mention something really important, namely that Ronald Tatum, you were recently named one of the recipients of Gateway Technical College's Martin Luther King Jr. Humanitarian Award. Yes. And this is a big deal for which we congratulate you. Tell us a little bit about receiving that award and kind of the circumstances under which you kind of found out about it.
Any award in his namesake of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is such a blessing to be associated with that. And I'm just fortunate to be in a position of servanthood to be able to give back to the communities and people that we serve and people that we encounter on a daily basis. And so someone wrote a memo, from my understanding, a letter of some of the work I've done in the communities in Racine and Kenosha, and thought I was, chosen to be for this award, very excited to be considered like that from peers and people who watch you from afar. As a young kid, my mother always told me that you never know who's watching you, so carry yourself in a manner of respect and integrity and a man of valor. And, that award to be given to me by someone who wrote and submitted me for this acknowledgement just speaks volumes. You just never know what people are doing and people who are watching you from afar. So I try to carry myself that way every day. So truly blessed and fortunate to be able to give back to the communities of Racine and Kenosha. And I hope that people, when they see me, they see opportunity. They see a man with Christ-like principles who has a heart to serve, and anybody can serve. And one of my favorite Martin Luther King quotes is, he has a lot of them, right? If you cannot do great things, you can do small things in a great way. So I want that to resonate with everybody, because it's I've been blessed with this platform, but there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of great work out here. I don't do it to be seen. It's not about Ron Tatum. That was instilled in me at a very young age. I was just fortunate that someone, saw my work from afar and acknowledged it. And I'm just truly blessed to have the platform. So just thankful to be here and thankful for the award. And, you know, I know my mom is watching me from above proud. I owe a lot to her and a lot of the mentors and people who poured into me as a young man growing up.
Let's talk about that for just a little bit. Tell us where you grew up and the kind of home in which you grew up. And was it a home where, right from the start, this idea of servanthood
absolutely.
Was ground into you?
Yeah, born and raised in Racine, Wisconsin. Statistically, was probably identified as someone who wouldn't make it out of the neighborhood. But through mentors, through tutors, and people who poured into me, as a young man, here I am. And I attribute a lot of that to my mom. My mom was a pioneer in Racine, Wisconsin. She did a lot for the community in Racine, Wisconsin. And as a young kid, you know, growing up in our neighborhood, you know, I would see kids walking around the neighborhood with my clothes on. I would see kids eating before me. And I had three brothers and three sisters, so this is seven of us. Mm. And sometimes the neighborhood ate before us because my mom fed them before us. My mom clothed them sometimes with our clothes. And as a young man, that never resonated to me what was transpiring there. There was something special happening. But as I got older, I started to understand what she was doing. She was investing in the lives of others. And as kids growing up in my household, we were always taught it's not about you, it's about the lives of others that you can impact and help and save in some cases. And she was a bus aide attendant who we didn't know was buying hats and gloves and scarves for kids who didn't have it when they got on the bus. Mm. But when they got home, they had it. Hats, gloves, and scarves. So some of you kids out there probably were blessed by this woman, Callie Tatum, who gave your sons and daughters hats, scarves, and gloves and out of her own pocket. And so as I got older, it was a no-brainer to me what type of work I wanted to get into. I wanted to get into nonprofit work. Nonprofit work is work that is servanthood. You serve from the heart. You put your egos aside. You identify, you know, the concept of giving. That's my why. When you talk about Kafasi, my why is all the clients, all the seniors, all the treasures is what I call them, that we have an opportunity to serve on a daily basis that are struggling. This is servant work. I can go somewhere from a corporate standpoint and make a lot more money. but there's no value in the passion and love and the opportunity I get to go home at the end of the day and tell my significant others, my friends, my kids, you know, that dad impacted somebody's life, right? And so there's a quote that I have. It says, things you do for yourself are gone when you're gone, but things you do for others will remain as your everlasting legacy.
That's great.
I'm trying to build a legacy, not for me, but for my kids, you know, their children, their children's children's. To follow, and this is why I choose this type of work. A lot of that is owed to my mom, who set the standard for me and my siblings at a very young age.
You say that this started to make sense to you and resonate with you when you got older. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, what are we talking about there? I mean, are we talking about as like as a boy in junior high or a young man in high school, or was it even a little later than that? I mean, at what point did you start to put this together that this is the kind of man I want to be, this is the kind of life I want to live?
Absolutely. I would say it started around my freshman year in high school. I was one of the first freshman class to start the high school career from 9th to 12th grade. I saw a lot of people that didn't look like me. I saw a lot of people that were less fortunate than I was. I would say a middle class growing up. But we felt like we were rich because my mom made us feel that way. And so I would say around my freshman year in high school, when I saw others, that looked like me, others that didn't look like me, that this need was bigger than myself. And so I would say around then, and, as I went off to college, it became even more apparent what I wanted to do in my career.
Hmm. Where did you go to college?
Indiana Tech University.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
And when did you begin working at Kafasi?
Almost a year. And
how long's
It'd be almost a year in June. So almost a year. It'd be 2 years in June.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So ahead of that, though, you've had a long career in which you have been in this nonprofit sector doing. I should think comparable work.
Absolutely. I worked for an amazing agency, Goodwill Industries, Southeast Wisconsin and Metropolitan in Chicago for over 10 plus years. Just loved it there as a director of their operations there. Had an opportunity to be the vice president at Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin and took that opportunity to be a vice president there. Worked there for a few years. And just wanted to continue to do impactful work. Opportunity presented itself. You know, I worked hard to get to this point, been on the executive level, you know, and worked my way up to this point to be considered for this position at CAFASI. One of the things I knew that I wanted to do was maintain and remain in nonprofit work where I can make an impact on lives of others. And once I did my research on CAFASI, I knew a little bit about CAFASI. I knew my predecessor, Katie Osvall, who was there before me. Her and I were good friends. And, you know, just educating myself on the type of work they do, and I was just blown away. And, you know, here's an opportunity to take care of people who have taken care of us all their lives and our seniors. And, you know, in some cases, they're being forgotten. And so, it was a no-brainer for me to step into this role to, you know, try to be a difference maker, try to bring awareness to the need for our seniors because they're so very important. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for seniors and the treasures that poured into Ron Tatum. I would not be sitting in front of you today if it wasn't for that. And we're all aging in place. I'm getting older, and so this demographic is the fastest growing demographic in the nation right now. In 3 to 5 years, the demographic will outweigh number-wise any other demographic. That's just crazy to think about.
Right.
But we're getting older at a faster pace, and people are living longer. And so we need to put awareness around our seniors because they're so important to everything that we are in our history.
Absolutely. For those of you just joining us, we're speaking today with Ronald Tatum, who is Executive Director of the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services. And with us as well is Rebecca Stevens, and she is the AmeriCorps Senior Project Director. Rebecca Stevens, tell us about your own passion for working in the nonprofit sector and at what point you came aboard at CAFASI.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I came aboard CAFASI. I'm going into my 10th year, so 10 years anniversary in August. The reason that I was so attracted to it is I've been in nonprofit and volunteered at the schools and for all my wherever my kids went to school. I worked for the school system at one point, did home visits, helped families that were in need. I, too, like Ron, was brought up in a large family, and we were always taught to give back, that what we leave as our legacy is what we do for others, and very much so. And my Grandpa Dreisky was the biggest inspiration in my life for that, and just having that and being in a multi-generational home where you had seniors and kids and every age you can imagine going on with a group of 9 children. And I had foster siblings, too, 2 foster siblings.
Wow.
And so, you know, we learned at a very young age that it wasn't about just us. We were there to be part of our community and to help and make a difference in our world and leave something of an impact. So when I came to CAFASI, I was so excited as far as it's called AmeriCorps Seniors now, but I started with RSVP, and we do have a second grant that I wrote for the foster grandparent program. It's all volunteer programs, and I thought, what a great opportunity to use my skill set to help with those in need. And for RSVP, the mentoring program, it's in the Kenosha Unified Schools. And then the foster grandparent program is a mentoring in-school tutoring program, too. And we're in Kenosha and Racine with that. So I feel blessed that I've had this opportunity, and we just want to keep working and growing the program. And as Ron said, that is our legacy, what we leave behind. And I can't, I mean, that to me is so important.
Absolutely. And in a moment, I want to hear more about exactly what AmeriCorps Senior is and how that operates. And I know that will nicely lead us then into our biggest topic today, which is specifically Meals on Wheels and a special project coming up involving that. Before we do that, Ronald Tatum, maybe you can give us a nice comprehensive overview of exactly what CAFASI is and sort of the scope of what you offer to the community.
Yeah, our mission is to promote healthy aging, strong families, and a connected community. So when you look at the acronym CAFASI, it's Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services Incorporated. So there's a family perspective in CAFASI as well that many people don't know about. Many people really identify us for our Meals on Wheels program, which is our largest program, but we have 15 other impactful programs that address everything from family preservation in our family services division, anger management. We do counseling, financial counseling, as well in those programs. We have companion programs through our friendly visitor program where we offer companionship to seniors who have been isolated. One of the things we found out since COVID, there have been a lot of seniors who have been left alone who don't have that companionship. And so these programs offer companionship, a friendly voice to talk to. These relationships now strand over a number of years. It's just amazing to watch and hear the testimonials associated with those. We have a number of other programs, music and memory program for those who are struggling with dementia, early Alzheimer's, which music stimulates the brain, even if just for a moment, just to bring back life from a five-minute song. I just had a testimonial I shared with someone yesterday of a song that just brought back an Elvis Presley song where him and his wife dance the night away, she said, for approximately 30 minutes. It just brought back memories, brought back that life to those individuals. And I get emotional talking about that because it's just powerful how many of these programs impact so many people. We have a volunteer transportation program where a one-way trip will, you know, give you a ride. My grandma, you know, grandpa wants to get their hair or nails done. We'll take them on a trip, $4.50 one way. We'll wait for you until you're done. We'll take you to the grocery store. We'll, you know, take you to, you know, your medical appointments and wait for you and then, you know, bring you back home for $4.50. So a lot cheaper than Uber and Lyft for sure. And so we just all our programs are so impactful that are focused on the seniors. We offer Tech Connect programs where we help seniors navigate technology. More and more seniors are now utilizing Facebook. You know, it's funny, before my mom passed in 2020, you know, she had a Facebook page. I was blown away. She was 83. And so,
well, and of course, and there are so many things when you just navigate through life, where knowledge of technology is more and more not a fluff. It's a necessity.
It's a necessity.
Certain bills, yeah. That's the only way they want them paid and other things.
Right. So. You can order groceries from online now. And so we have a tech assist programs that works with seniors to provide those resources. So we touch every area of a need for seniors through all our programs. And then, of course, you know, our largest program is our Meals on Wheels, our nutrition program, which also includes senior dining sites where we have congregate settings for seniors to come and eat amongst each other, you know, have that companionship and those conversations amongst each other. We have about five of those throughout Kenosha County. Just to see the seniors just congregate with one another and have a meal and break bread together is just amazing to see. And then, you know, our Meals on Wheels program is the most recognized, I would say, program, and where, you know, we serve over 400 meals easy a day to individuals in need, and that list continues to grow because the need for resources for seniors is increasing. Inflation has increased and impacted all of us, and so we're finding more seniors who are making difficult choices to make decisions. Do I pay for food or medication? Mm-hmm. Right? That's true. And that's really happening. And so we check the food box. And so it's impactful what we do. And I'm truly excited to be leading this agency amongst a number of great leaders on my team that have the also have the heart to serve and give back and know our why, right? Mm. Our why is to help our seniors gracefully age in place, and our programs provide those resources.
Mm. With or under what auspices does CAFASI operate? I mean, are you affiliated with Kenosha County or with the city of Kenosha, or do you, in effect, operate independently as an agency?
Well, we have affiliations with both the county, a really strong partnership with the county, and our programs funded through the county. We have a great relationship with the city, and so we're in a corporation, and so we address all the needs in the city and Kenosha County overall.
Is this something that is somewhat unique, or if we looked around the state of Wisconsin, would we see something comparable to CAFASI in every county in the state?
You would not see anything comparable to CAFASI. I'm not bragging. That's the truth.
Sure is.
We are very unique and different with 16 programs, again, that touch every area of the household. I like to say we have programs that touch the beginning of life all the way to the aging of life. And so you may find some programs that do a little bit of what we do, but not from the perspective of the family, when you talk about the family services division we have, as well as addressing the aging population as well. And so there are some programs who may, you know, do a few things similar to us, but not under the broader scope that CAFASI does it. I don't think anyone has that. I don't think anyone has the great volunteers we've had, and I am bragging right now. we have a great group of volunteers. You know, we have over 400 plus volunteers that serve all of our programs. Many of these volunteers do this for free. You know, and I referenced that Martin Luther King quote earlier. We have a lot of volunteers who are doing small things in a great way that are so impactful and touching so many lives. And many people don't know in our Meals on Wheels routes, our volunteers also do a wellness check. And so if no one's home, or that person who is designated to get a meal doesn't come to the door, we do a wellness check. We call their people on file to make sure everything's okay. There's been a handful of instances since I started at CAFASI where I would say we even saved some lives.
Wow.
Because we saw, you know, some seniors who were struggling with some things. And that one phone call just changed a lot of lives. And it's just, they're more than just volunteers. They're the heart and soul and pulse of what we do.
Very good. Rebecca Stevens, it's time for us to talk a bit about AmeriCorps Senior. And this is, of course, a very impressive wellspring, in a sense, from which a lot of these volunteers come. Tell us what this program is and then what you do as its director.
Okay. So AmeriCorps Seniors is a program that is for seniors 55 and up. You have to be at least 55 to be in our program. And it is a federally funded grant, and CAFASI is the sponsor of the grant of both AmeriCorps Seniors, RSVP, and FGP. And so we get the opportunity to work with all different types of volunteers. And I'll go back with what Ron said. We wouldn't be doing what we do at CAFASI without these volunteers. And we are always looking for new volunteers. We have, for the RSVP program, we have three priority focus areas. That would be Meals on Wheels, Friendly Visitor, and the mentoring program that's in Kenosha Unified Schools. And so we always need new volunteers. And it does limit us sometimes that we can only do 55 and up, but I'll tell you what, the people that we have that serve, and they care so much. And you know, these volunteers, like Ron said, when they go out for Meals on Wheels, they become family to some of these seniors, and it helps keep them healthy. It helps lower the cost of having to end up in the hospital. So we are always recruiting for new volunteers to come join our program. Again, our programs are not possible without that. So I feel really honored that we have that opportunity through AmeriCorps Seniors to go out into our community and work with our community and say, we need more volunteers. How can you help? What area are you interested in? And then we do have some other areas too, but we have to hit our priority focus areas first. That's the guidance from AmeriCorps Seniors, and then we move from there. So, but truly, truly blessed at the things that our volunteers have done to keep our seniors safe, to support our CFASI mission, and just to support our community in general. So we're very blessed there.
We're speaking today on the morning show with two representatives of the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services Agency. We have Rebecca Stevens, who is their AmeriCorps Senior Project Director, and with us as well is Ronald Tatum, who is Executive Director of CFASI. And as already has been stated, probably kind of the headline resource or headline service for CFASI, the thing that probably most people are best acquainted with, is the Meals on Wheels program. Although I think it's safe to say that even for all of us who have heard those words and know at least something about it, I think most of us have actually very little understanding of just how it works and all that has to happen, all that goes in to making this project go. First of all, I wonder if one of you could give us a little history lesson in terms of how long this thing called Meals on Wheels has been around and anything about how it was put into place.
Well, that's a great question. From looking at old profiles and data, since 1969.
Ah, wow.
Since 1969.
I was going to say, I remember growing up even that this is a phrase that was mm-hmm. that was bandied about.
Yep.
So give us some idea of kind of the nuts and bolts of how Meals on Wheels works. First of all, who exactly does it serve? In what way do you have to sort of qualify for it?
Absolutely.
I mean, what determines who receives these Meals on Wheels?
Yeah, you have to be 60 and older. 60 and older to be qualified for the Meals on Wheels program. That's part of the Older Americans Act to be, verified for a meal. And so not much goes into it at all. And so it's just a matter of, making a phone call. There's an assessment that is done to qualify you for a meal. But anyone 60 and older is eligible for Meals on Wheels.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that assessment process?
Yeah.
I mean, what kinds of things are you looking for, or what exactly are you assessing?
Well, we're just verifying, what if the person so is, let's just say, disabled in a sense. Maybe they have a medical condition that requires them to have a different type of meal. Someone with diabetes, needs something with lower carbs, et cetera. So we take some of those things into account. And then we also see, what type of support they're getting as far as anyone else in the household. So that when our drivers come, we know who we're dealing with, and we gather information about, who's their caretaker, for example. And so those types of things are the questions that we ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is this something that people pay for? Do they have to pay a relatively modest amount of money in order to receive these?
No, a lot of this is covered by the Title III funding. So Title III funding, there's really no out-of-pocket expense at all for these seniors. We don't ask for it. They can more than willing be willing to donate if they so choose, but most of this is covered by Title III funding.
So tell us where the meals come from. Where does the food get cooked?
So we contract our meals out with the vendor. Hoffman House is the current vendor that we utilize, and so they tailor these meals. Again, if there's someone who has a medical condition and needs a different type of meal, they get a different type of meal, something with low carbs, et cetera, something like that. But we contract with a vendor who specializes in these types of meals, and they make meal deliveries every day to all of our different locations to also service our senior dining sites.
So tell us about the mechanics by which these meals get to the people that need them, and how that is all put together and how that operates.
Yeah, it's a lot of logistics that goes behind the scenes and making this happen, right? And so we get our meal deliveries about 8 o'clock every morning. We have, again, five senior dining sites, so meals are dropped at the senior dining sites as well. We have a few pickup locations for our Meals on Wheels drivers. So not everyone picks up at our Kafashi location at 7730 Sheridan Road. We have four drop sites where drivers throughout the county and the city pick up. Our routes are divided up strategically. Our routes are averaged at about 45 minutes apiece. We've changed that over the years to make our routes more appealing, but also make them more efficient and to get our meals into the hands of our clients more quickly. We have our drivers coming to these drop-off sites to pick these meals up every day. Our Meals on Wheels manager packages them in our thermal bags, is what you call them. And so you can fit maybe about 30 meals in a thermal bag.
Wow.
That keeps them warm. We have to make sure they remain at temp. That's a requirement. So they have to remain at temperature. And so the drivers, the volunteers rather, come and pick up these meals throughout the day at these drop-off sites, and they get their delivery list where they can go out and then deliver meals to everyone on their list. And so
is this a meal for lunch or a meal for supper? Or both?
Well,
or
we deliver at lunchtime.
Okay.
We do deliver at lunchtime. There are some meals that, you know, if a holiday happens, we have frozen meals that we give them to keep them until, let's just say, Christmas. You know, there's a few days off with Christmas. We ensure no one goes without a meal and that they still get their meals. So we have frozen meals as well that we deliver to sustain them during those times.
Have you ever counted how many different meals there are? I mean, like, if one takes advantage of Meals on Wheels, are you seeing the same Salisbury steak every 3 days?
Or I can tell you, I've eaten some meals. I've tasted some meals because there's sometimes quality control leftover, right? And these meals taste very good. I mean, you get Salisbury steak, you get turkey, what else?
The whole month of the calendar is a different meal.
Yeah, we have a whole calendar. It's a different meal
really? Every
day. Yeah. Baked chicken.
And they can get a hot or a cold.
Right, hot or cold. We have rice, carrots, potatoes, turkey and gravy, you name it.
It's good.
It's a good meal for sure.
Wow. You mentioned the fact that that ugly word, inflation, which, of course, was a very acute concern there for a while, and I should think that probably had an impact. How would you measure the impact in terms of something like that when the cost of food itself skyrockets? I should think that really complicates your ability to be able to provide this wonderful service.
Absolutely. We've seen a cost increase like everyone else, across the country who are doing some type of service work. And so inflation definitely has played a factor into that. But we've been able to sustain ourselves. We have great partners. Great relationships with obviously Kenosha County, City of Kenosha. But more importantly, what we're seeing, the largest impact is to our seniors right now. I think I shared with you earlier that seniors are, and this is a true statement, seniors are making difficult decisions to pay for medication and or food because inflation is really hurting a lot of seniors. We've seen a lot of seniors who have retired early and thought, hey, I'm retired, that are now having to either go back to work and get on this our meal programs. And so we're seeing an increase in need that are impacting our seniors just as much as is impacting us internally.
Right. Rebecca Stevens, describe what a typical meal drop-off looks like. I mean, and, you know, generally speaking, kind of how it happens, what that interaction is like.
So you're assigned a route, and then you run that route. You go to the house of the address where the meal, the senior is anxiously awaiting the meal, and because it is their source of nutrition, and you just knock on the door. We come between a time frame, so we start at like 11 o'clock with our drivers, and as Ron said, it's about 45 minutes. We try to keep them in that as long as we have enough drivers, so we always need more drivers so we can hit that targeted amount of time for delivery. And then basically the person comes to the door. Sometimes they have special notes on their door and they'll say just leave it at the door, knock, and then they pick it up. But typically it's a face-to-face with that senior. And so you get to know the people on your route. They become like an extension of your own family, and our drivers will tell you that because they've shared with us so many times how much they watch out for their seniors. And if anything's awry, so the other day I just happened to be in the office when one of the clients was saying, help, help, I need some help. Well, she had fallen and she just couldn't get up. And so what happened is they called then 911 to come because they couldn't get in the door. And so they came and they helped this lady. So again, it's one of these things. First, they call the person that's on their contact. They don't just call 911 right away. It's always done through our office. But those kinds of things, it's not just a meal. It is a care giving opportunity and sharing in return. So,
and I'm sure that probably one benefit of having plenty of drivers is that means then each of those encounters doesn't have to be quite so rushed.
But if, exactly,
if you have a shortage of drivers, then you really have to move with great dispatch to the very next place and the next meal to deliver.
Yeah, we've been very blessed with our driver base. We've been creative and innovative to think outside the box on how to garner more volunteers. We've implemented programs. We have an Adopt a Route program, which works with corporations throughout Kenosha. A lot of agencies are incentivizing their employees to come out and volunteer. For 45 minutes at your lunchtime, you can come and do a Meals on Wheels route. You know, Kiwanis Group has about 35 to 40 people, a team of 35 to 40 people that volunteer to do routes.
Wow.
Right? And so And so we continue to build our volunteer base by working with those corporations and educating people on what is Meals on Wheels, you know, why is it important? A lot of the contact that these seniors have, the first contact is with that person the entire day. That's the only contact they have. Can you just imagine that? So many of our seniors look forward to that. And so we're trying to promote that, and many corporations are taking advantage of that. We have a State Farm agency that their company participates with volunteers. And, our team hasn't had to do a route in over 8 months, I would say, because our volunteer base is so strong. And we have backup volunteers in case someone is on vacation.
Wow.
And so our volunteer base is very diverse from age demographic, from ethnicity, et cetera. And so we've been very blessed and fortunate to, get creative and innovative, thinking outside the box to expound on our volunteer base.
So on a typical day, how many meals, as of right now, on a typical day, how many meals are being distributed and by how many drivers, roughly?
Over 400 meals a day, roughly about 28 drivers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I should think that when Mother Nature plays havoc, which has not happened too much this winter, but in a more typical Wisconsin winter, I suppose once in a while it gets dicey in terms of is it safe to be out there driving?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing you tilt towards, you obviously want to keep your drivers safe, But this is a really important service they're providing.
Absolutely. So one of the things we have to do is be very proactive. So, like you were doing the weather before we walked in here, we look at the weather, we evaluate, we assess, we seek feedback from our volunteers. If they feel uncomfortable, that is to go out, we'll take that into consideration. And at the end of the day, we want everyone to be safe. But one of the things we do, we have our frozen meals. And so if we see that in advance, we have to be very proactive, that there's closures and weather is going to be detriment to individuals getting meals, we'll proactively plan in advance and get those seniors a frozen meal so they don't go without.
Right. Very good. And you mentioned in passing that in addition to the taking a meal to people's homes, you have this other facet. I don't know if that's also under the auspices of Meals on Wheels, but where there are actually senior meals taking place, congregate meals, where seniors come together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful variation on this.
Absolutely.
That's probably serving a slightly different, obviously a senior population, but maybe seniors that are not so, in a sense, isolated or homebound.
Right. So we have five of these sites, Kenosha Senior Center, Lakeside Towers. We have Parkside Redeemer is the other one. Village Pub west of the Ine. So we're able
West
to.
West Osha.
As well. Can't forget my people, my friends at West Osha.
I didn't want you to get in trouble for that.
I love that place. I love West Osha.
It's awesome.
Provides a congregate setting where seniors can come and just conversate amongst one another. And what we've done is made it a dining experience, meaning that we just don't want them to come and have a meal. We've invited people like Chase to come in to speak to them about fraud. You know, many of our seniors are being taken advantage of, sometimes by their own families. So Annette Washington, shout out to Annette Washington of Chase, community relations director there, who comes out and talks to our seniors about fraud. And this is at all our sites. She goes to all our sites. Mm. We brought in my friends at Pillar Health, who come out and talk to them about health. We work with Aurora, who comes out and does BMI. What is BPMI checks? Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. The blood pressure checks and everything else. And our seniors absolutely look forward to it. And so we try to educate them on nutrition. We've had some nutrition counselors come in. As we age, we want to eat better, right? And so we are making it more of than just a meal. We're making a dining experience where we're bringing resources to them in these congregate settings.
Fantastic. That's a part of Meals on Wheels that I didn't have any awareness of, so I think it's an absolutely terrific idea. Well, we want to be sure, of course, to talk about this concerted effort that is being made to raise the profile of Meals on Wheels, if you will. And again, we said at the outset that most people have heard the phrase, but that doesn't mean they fully grasp the significance of it, nor the expense that's involved in making something like this go. So I know 2 weeks from today, on Tuesday, the 19th of March, a special effort is going to be underway. Rebecca, do you want to start in terms of explaining what these few days in the middle of March are all about?
Well, it's hashtag Save Lunch and March for Meals combined, because we need to make sure that the funding that is available at the federal level is supplied for these programs. We can't run these programs without that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to let Ron, we're going to start on the 19th Tuesday, and then we're going to do Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But I'm going to let Ron take it from there. Because we've been having fun planning.
Let me reference
this.
My notes. I wrote some notes here because I don't want to forget anything, because this is so, so very important. And thanks again for having us to be able to share this with everyone. So the hashtag Save the Lunch March for Meals efforts in March will commemorate the historic day in March of 1972 when the Older Americans Act was amended to include nutrition for Americans 60 and older. Mm. So that means that touches all of our nutrition programs, Meals on Wheels, senior dining programs. So now, more than 50 years later, 12 million older Americans are still threatened by or experiencing hunger, and one in three seniors feels lonely today. And so when you talk about CAFASI programs, I talked about the companionship programs as well. This is why we're doing, this is a national campaign through Meals on Wheels America nationally to bring awareness to the need of funding needed to continue to sustain our programs. On March 8th, what many people don't know or may not know is that Congress has until March 8th the next federal funding deadline for programs like Meals on Wheels to provide desperately needed increases. So these on the docket right now in front of Congress is if funding will be added and or decreased. If funding is decreased, then we are in a situation where there will may be individuals that will be put on a wait list because we don't have enough funding to support the need. And to me, that's just breathtaking. When you talk about this demographic that I share with you, is the fastest growing demographic in the nation, in our seniors, our treasures. We have a responsibility to take care of them. And if the funding is not there, it just doesn't sit right with me to tell people we can't serve them.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, right? And that we have to put them on a wait list. So this March for Meals campaign has a huge significance than any other March for Meals campaign we've done. This is why the hashtag Save Lunch, driven by Meals on Wheels America, has been added to bring awareness to our Congress, our dignitaries to, you know, vote for more funding for the Older Americans Act, or else we'll, many seniors will be put in a situation where we can't provide them a meal because of they'll have to be put on the wait list because funding is not there. And so this year, March 19th to 22nd, you know, we're trying to bring awareness to get our people out to, you know, write to your dignitaries, to Brian Stiles and our leaders in Congress to, you know, vote this bill and let your voices be heard about the need for funding to continue to do what we do to serve our seniors, our treasures, because they've done so much for us. We cannot forgive them. We cannot forget them, rather. And we have a responsibility. And so we'll be putting an emphasis on this to Rebecca's points, March 19th to 22nd. We have some dignitaries, some community champions who have already committed to come and do a route. Happens during this week, they do a ride-along route with our volunteer drivers. Last year was just amazing. We had the likes of Samantha Kirkman there, Todd Onstead, Tip McGuire, Tamara Coleman, Shalom Center, Carolyn Frisch, United Way, all our community partners, champions, friends, local dignitaries that came out to support this initiative last year. And so this year we've already gotten signed up. It's going to be bigger. So we've exceeded last year already. Wow. So we're preparing. Our drivers are ready to go on routes. And our seniors really enjoy seeing these individuals firsthand. And these dignitaries and community champions love doing it as well, because this is a part of something they never seen take place. So we're here to bring awareness to that, to help, you know, get Congress to generate additional funding to avoid a wait list. There's a powerful video that the Meals on Wheels America CEO shared with us the other day. And the video outlined the fact that if this does not pass, if you start at ground zero all the way up to outer space, that's how many seniors will be left without a meal. Just think about that for a moment. It was over 5 million.
Yep.
So the number was just astronomical, and it was just, you know, it's something that really hurt my heart, you know, because at some point we all hope to age in place, you know, and it seems like we've forgotten in some cases. And so here we are, and we are in a position, we are in a blessed position, I would say, to bring awareness to this, to take care of our treasures and our seniors.
Very good.
And I think the main thing that we're doing here, and Ron will tell you firsthand, is we are educating our community and immersing them in what we do so they understand. And they see the clients, too. And so they understand that these are people that are really in need, and they need that type of support. It's not something that's a fringe benefit. It's something they need in order to live their best life that they can.
Absolutely.
And education of our dignitaries is so important, our elected officials and our community.
Absolutely. And of course, the call for more drivers is in place as well. So
yes,
we hope people listening will carefully consider the possibility of becoming part of this marvelous effort. So again, hashtag Save Lunch, this big effort, which kicks off 2 weeks from today on Tuesday, the 19th of March, and lasts for the remainder of that week. And you can seek out more information on the CAFASI website to learn more about this and other valuable programs that they offer. Ronald Tatum, Rebecca Stevens, thank you so much, first of all, for your good work with the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services Agency. And thank you for being my morning show guest today to tell this important story. Thank you, and best wishes to you and to your many volunteers.
Thanks for
having
us.
And God bless you as well. We appreciate the platform to share our story.